Accession number 24197, Wheel 2.
In relation to joining the infantry, had you tried to get involved in any other force, the Air Force or Navy?
No, because I'd been in an infantry unit with the 16th Cameron Highlanders. It was an infantry unit, so we all joined the infantry.
Did you know of anyone that didn't manage to get in?
Didn't manage to get
in? Failed the medical?
No, I don't know anyone failed it.
Did you know of anyone who was outwardly opposed to the war, the army?
No. No, I suppose there must have been quite a few. Wouldn't be too keen on the idea of joining the army or being pushed into the army. But whilst we're at camp, we're advised that the colonel of the 2nd 28th, who had just been appointed, Jack Lloyd, he was interviewing people with the idea of looking for non-commissioned officers and people like that to join. And a lot of us were interviewed by him and agreed to join the 2nd 28th Battalion.
What had been the reputation of the battalion?
Well, the original 28th Battalion had served in the First World War and had quite a good reputation of their performance. I think all the Australian units did fairly well in the First World War and the Second World War. They seemed to make very good infantry soldiers anyhow.
We can talk about that a little later on too. In relation to Jack Lloyd, tell us about him and what he spoke to you.
Well, he said he had been in the First World War. I think he was probably fairly young then, and but although he was an officer, and his idea was to form the battalion, the 2nd 28th Battalion, and he advised that they would be going overseas eventually, no doubt. And that was his reason for recruiting people who were experienced with at least with some of the training in the Cameron Highlanders. I think by then the 6th Division had gone overseas, and the 7th Division was also formed and ready to go. Shortly, the 2nd 28th was not in any particular division at that stage, and it wasn't until we got to the Middle East that they formed the 9th Division. I think during the time they spent in Tobruk and then in Palestine afterwards, I'm not sure when it was formed exactly, but probably in the in Tobruk.
In relation to your training in the 2nd 28th, tell us what was involved.
Well, it was mainly involved. We were mainly involved with field exercises at Northern, sort of learning to form up for attack, and we also got a lot of marching and drill and that sort of thing, which I think kept us very fit. But there wasn't a lot of exercises. We didn't have exercises with live ammunition, although we did do quite a bit of live firing of our rifles on the range at Northern. Some of the blokes were a bit erratic. Some of them couldn't hit the target. Some of them fired all over the place. But they were soon pulled into line.
What sort of what was your equipment like?
Well, we were training virtually with First World War equipment. Although just before we went away, I think we were given the latest type of infantry equipment.
Had you been briefed on the German army and what they were like?
No, except that we knew that they were very, very good fighters. They were very efficient, and well trained. The Italians, we understand, were although well trained, they were not the same proposition as the Germans. And that was proved to be the fact once we got into action.
In relation to the Germans and what you might be up against, the situation in May with Dunkirk, the ease at which they'd gone through, taken France, how did that then make you look at your opponents, your enemy?
Well, my idea about it was that France really didn't put up any resistance, or very little resistance. I mean, it would have been a different proposition, I think, if they had attacked England. They would have been against stiffer opposition then.
In relation to the fact that there was the talk of Blitzkrieg, these Panzer tanks, presumably you hadn't seen anything like a Panzer tank before.
No.
What was the feeling to know that you might actually be up against something like that?
Well, we're a bit apprehensive, of course, and but I think when we were in Tobruk, we were quite determined that if we were attacked on our front, that we'd put up a good performance. I don't think we had any, well, we had very few tanks on our own side, and although the tanks did do a good job, they certainly knocked out quite a few of the Germans when they did attack on the they didn't attack on our front, fortunately, but on the other front. And I understand that when the tanks came in first at Tobruk, the infantry sort of went down pretty low, kept low, and the tanks went through, and then the infantry got up again and started firing at the enemy infantry, and the tanks had gone through, and they were on their way to the Tobruk township when the British tanks contacted them. Most of them were knocked out.
We could talk about that a little later on. In relation to preparation well, before that, you mentioned earlier on that you had been concerned with Britain and the Battle of Britain and what might happen if Britain fell. What was the general attitude in relation to if Britain goes?
Well, we didn't think of that, because if they had attacked Britain, I doubt whether they would have taken Britain, although they had strong air power, but they still had to get their troops across the channel, and that wouldn't have been a very easy job, would it? He changed his mind anyhow and went the other way.
In relation to preparing to go overseas, what was involved with that?
Well, getting equipment, learning how to handle your rifle and your bayonet, and machine guns. We didn't have any in Australia. We didn't have any Bren guns at that stage, but we knew about them. We did discuss quite a bit. The officers discussed with us tactics as far as attacking, and what could possibly happen as far as if we wanted to attack, how we'd use the machine guns and the troops, and then follow up with more troops, and with a bit of luck, have some artillery assistance.
To what degree had your period of military service up until this point been a fun one?
Well, there's always that serious thought about it. That, I mean, you could finish up in action, but I think it was more of an adventure at that stage, as far as I was concerned.
And mucking in with your mates.
Yeah. Mm.
What sorts of things would you get up to in relation to sort of lighter moments as being soldiers?
Well. You see, the ordinary infantry at that stage were people of my age, up to 40 years of age, or under 40. So I distinctly remember at one stage the boy said to me, "We're going on leave, Ron, so come on. We'll take you into Northern and teach you how to drink." Which didn't help very much. But I think they got a lot drunker than I did.
So becoming a man in the army.
Yeah, that's what it amounted to. I put my age up 1 year to get in. I had to be 20 at the time. And
were your parents aware of you doing that?
Oh, yes. Mm. They were quite agreeable to it.
They couldn't convince you to stay one extra year?
They didn't try. They knew that I was keen to join the AOF. I'd think twice about it now.
We'll talk about that too later on. In relation to being a soldier, what was it like? What did it feel like to be a member of the AIF, the second AIF?
Well, I think we soon became quite pleased with our battalion. with the whole unit, and you know, I think we were proud to be in such a unit, and the AIF.
How do you think people saw you in uniform on leave, for instance?
Well, there was a lot of AIF on leave at that stage. I don't think people, I guess they would think, well, there's another poor cow going to war.
In relation to it coming close to the time when you would leave, when you would go overseas,
yeah.
What was the feeling like that it was approaching time to go?
Well, it was quite an exciting time, really, because we went on embarkation leave for about 2 or 3 weeks, I think, and we knew we'd be going very soon, so we're not apprehensive about it at all. We're quite all keen to go.
When was it that you were told? Do you recall what was told?
We were told about 2 days before we went, from memory. I mean, the idea was not to spread it around, although all my family knew that we'd be going soon.
This would have been the 2nd of January, 1st or 2nd of January, of the new year.
1941.
What was the feeling like, the new year coming in? People had talked that the war might be over by Christmas. Obviously, the first Christmas had come and gone.
Oh, yes. Well, nobody took much notice of that. It couldn't have possibly been over quickly. I think most of us realised that.
So leaving Northern, presumably coming down by train. Can you give us an idea of the feeling on board train coming down?
Yeah, I think we sang all the way. We were all happy about it. Had to march into Northern to get on the train. And it was quite, everybody was quite happy. They thought twice when they saw the ship. They had to get on that.
What do you recall of the ship?
The Aquitania. Oh, it was a big ship. And actually my parents had been on it about 12 months before in between England and America. After the war broke out too. They were booked on the Athenia, which was sunk. And they had to... there were so many Yanks wanting to go back to America that they got pushed off the Athenia and they finished up on the Aquitania. They were lucky.
Had you had a chance to say goodbye to your parents before you left, your family?
Oh, yes. Yes, they'd been back for about 6 months or so.
Well, before you left, what was the farewell like?
Well, it was I can't remember very much about
I presume they weren't on the wharf when you left.
My mother was.
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you recall of that situation.
Well, she was near the wharf. She met a lot of the relations met the train when it came to the wharf, and you know, she said the usual things and said she'd be writing, and asked me to make sure I kept writing at least once a week, which I did. It's pretty hard on her, I think, at that stage, but you don't think very much about that sort of thing when you're young.
I understand that you were hailed all the way down from Northam on the train. People knew you were coming and would meet you at the station as you went through.
Yes, well, the train as it went through was blowing its horn, you know. So by the time we got to Perth and Perth down to Fremantle, I think everybody knew about us. There was no secret.
So there you are, coming down onto the wharf in Fremantle. You see the Aquitania, presumably in gauge roads?
Yes, in gauge roads. And we had to go out on a small vessel, you know.
Were you still with the mates that you joined up with?
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of them have been spread through different companies of the battalion. But they were all there, mainly corporals, some were sergeants.
Would you like to name some of them?
Oh no, I won't name them.
In relation to heading out towards the Aquitania, presumably you'd not been on a ship before. What was the feeling like?
Well, I was quite excited about getting on the ship because it was so very big, and it was easy to get lost on it. I know I got lost once and finished up in the officer's section. I got kicked out pretty quickly.
Can you give us an idea of your initial impression of the ship, first as you came towards it and then getting on board?
Well, the first impression was that it was so big, the Aquitania, and getting on board we went straight off the ship into the side, straight off the boat we're on, into the side of the ship, from memory. We didn't have to climb up the top to get up on the deck. We just went into the side and they allocated to us to different spots. I think we're about eight decks down our quarters, and we spent the first night there. It was so hot, there's no air conditioning, so the next night we took our blankets and slept on the deck. We did that all the way through to Colombo.
What was the feeling in your quarters? Can you describe them to us?
Oh, they were just talking about the ship and how big it was and where we had to meet with the rest of the company, that sort of thing.
But what were your quarters like, where you were?
The quarters were just small cabins. And when we slept on the beds, and when you wake in the morning, they were wet from sweat. It was so hot. So we didn't sleep there anymore. We slept up. We went, took our blankets, and went up on deck.
Below deck, what was the general atmosphere for the average soldier?
Well, for the average soldier below deck, they had gambling games going on, two up. Everything was they were just throwing themselves into enjoying themselves.
Do you recall the actual parting, the departure, I should say? Seeing the coast of Cottesloe, Fremantle disappear.
Mm-hmm.
What was the feeling associated with with seeing the homeland disappear on the horizon?
I didn't worry about that too much. That was the homeland. It was gone. We're on our way, which was exciting for me, really.
Was there a concern that you might not see the homeland again?
No, I didn't think about that or talk about it.
It was a subject you avoided?
Yeah. Didn't think about it, actually. We went to Colombo, the first stop.
What was it like being in convoy? What do you recall of that?
Yes, we were pleased to see the other ships and also the warships that were escorting us, and hoped that they'd be able to contact any enemy ships or enemy submarines first before we were attacked. But I must say, I thought about that, the possibility of the ship being torpedoed. But we got to Colombo all right, and then they put us all ashore on leave for a day. Each man had a day's leave in Colombo, and then we went on to the New Zealand. A Dutch ship.
On board the Aquitania, can you give us an idea of the average day before you got to Colombo?
Well, there'd be breakfast, be the first thing, and then after breakfast there'd be a parade, and every platoon and every company sort of paraded, so they count everybody and make sure you're still there. And then there'd be physical exercises and drill and things like that for the rest of the morning. And in the afternoon they'd have lectures and that sort of thing on map reading and at night you get another meal and you go straight to bed.
In relation to the situation with the lectures, what were they telling you in relation to how the war was going in the Middle East?
Well, we knew that the 6th Division had gone with the British Army as well up to Merce Matru, Tobruk, and some of the other towns further on in the Western Desert, and they'd performed pretty well, we were told, and actually when we got to Palestine, we had a few weeks of training and then we went up to the Western Desert, and we met the 2nd 11th West Australian Battalion at Merce Matru. In fact, we played them Australian rules football and they nearly killed each other. I think there's a point of difference at the finish.
What was the general, we can talk a little bit about that, but what was the general feeling on arrival at Colombo, seeing a new part of the world?
Oh, we're just interested to see something different. There were a lot of troops in Colombo itself. And we took a taxi I think three or four of us took a taxi and went to went further along. Somebody had been to Colombo and he knew that it was a very nice place further out. And we went out to there, had a meal and came back again.